afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch. Hey, Fetch.
Quiet, quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now, coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Mary. From Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio. Today's date is... What is today's date? It's December the 13th, is it? I'm so confused on Thursdays. December the 15th, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. Quite a nice day here in Riyadh as daytime highs hit 74 degrees under largely sunny skies. Winds have been a very mild 8 miles per hour out of the south-southeast, and we're currently sitting at 60 degrees at just after 2 o'clock in the morning local Riyadh time, and we're going to be going down to a low of 57 degrees in the hour before sunrise. If you've been following the Inside the Eye Live saga over the years, you've kind of got to know a little bit about me, but this week we share a little bit more. I had my second eye surgery this week, and it was elective. I had to get done, but basically I had the torn retina, not a torn, detached. There is a difference. So we had a detached retina, and I haven't really been able to see for a couple of years now. I've basically been working with one eye, so I went and got this second operation done. Now that all my work here is finished in Saudi, I could take some time off and try to recover. So I went and did that surgery. I don't know how well it went. They say it went well. I can't see right now, but they say it went well. But we'll see how it works, you know. But anyways, the key point to this story, it's December the 13th, not the 15th. Yeah, I know that. Did I say 15th? December 13th. The thing is, I always forget to change the date on my script, man, and then I get confused. It's like, well, you know, what can I say? Anyways, so basically I did the surgery, and after the surgery, you have to wait around for evaluation because they've got you under semi-sedation. They've got you under local anesthesia, and you basically got to make sure the eye is okay before you leave. So that's usually done after the doctor finishes his rounds for the day. So they put me in a private room, which was very nice, quite frankly. No complaints about that. Service was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was pretty good. Certainly above a 5. Give it a 7 or 8 or so. But the key point here is that I never watch television. I just don't watch television, but I'm in this room. I can't really do anything, so they put the television on. And there were only 3 English-speaking stations. One was CNN. The other was BBC. And the other is something called NBC Action, which is a local English... it's actually a regional... satellite channel that does English programming, Arabic programming, NBC. I forget who it's owned by, but it's somebody affiliated close to Prince Waleed, I think, here locally. But nonetheless, we're watching television. I'm like, geez, I can't. CNN was bad. I mean, it was really just appalling watching CNN. For me, the programming appeared to be much more consistent or consisting of a bunch of babbling idiots. I don't understand, quite frankly, CNN, at least CNN Global or whatever I was watching. It was terrible. I can't even for the life of me even tell you anything that was said. It was just droning nonsense and idiocy. And how people buy this into this, I really don't know. I mean, I'm more of a down-to-earth, just give me the information type of guy. I'm not interested in all of this puffery and the BS and the, my goodness, it was really appalling. Then I went to the BBC, and BBC was, the only reason it was probably interesting was because it was a day in which, it was just this Wednesday, so it was the day that Theresa May was having her, what do you call this, her vote of no confidence at what is known as the 1922 committee. And what had happened there is that there was a call, so I can turn that down, that's kind of annoying. The BBC, again, it wasn't much better, but you had this no confidence vote against May, and it was scheduled for later that afternoon with the results being announced in the evening. Now, actually, I think it was like the votes were going to go down around 6 o'clock and then announced around 9 o'clock at night, something like that, local time, London. Now, apparently, the Conservative Party inside of the UK needed 48 letters, and that was to request a no-confidence vote. That actually did happen. Then ensued a debate before what is known again as the 1922 Committee, and after a very raucous debate and a question-and-answer session, the Conservative Party members went off. They cast their secret ballots, of which those pushing for no confidence would have needed they would have needed 158 votes to win the no confidence vote against Prime Minister May. And then that, if it had actually happened, would have triggered a new leadership for the Tories or the Conservative Party. Now, Theresa May did go on to win that vote. I do have some highlights from that to kind of highlight what is actually a fairly colorful political process, at least for us Americans it's colorful, but there was a fairly colorful political process inside the UK. And here is Ian Bremmer. He is the actual Speaker of the House announcing what was the final tally of the no confidence vote against Theresa May.
I'd like to thank the officers of the 1922 Committee for their help, especially my two assistant returning officers, Dame Cheryl Gillan and Charles Walker. The result of the ballot held this evening is that the Parliamentary Party does have confidence. Yeah. As leader of the Conservative Party, the number of votes cast in favour of having confidence in Theresa May was 200, and against was 117. Under the rules set out in the constitution of the Conservative Party, no further confidence vote can take place for at least 2 years.
Now, to put all of this kind of into some perspective, let's kind of be clear here. Theresa May actually be a polished politician within the British scene, within British politics. I really don't know, as I'm not really British and I'm not part of that society. But having watched this woman over the years, I'm talking about years of following her Brexit efforts, she appears to be, to me, rather deceitful. She appears dishonest. She appears to be a saboteur working really against the people of Britain. And I'm talking about the people of Britain. I'm not talking about the migrants. I'm not talking about the imported hordes, so to speak, of people that are there. I'm talking about the British people themselves. Now, Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, whom we've talked a lot about here on this show, he provided really some of the more colorful and entertaining and focused assaults against Ms. Theresa May. although in fairness, May actually held her own and even seemed to score some humor points towards the end of the exchange. However, Corbyn seemed to drill down at what is really a British leadership that has no mandate, no plan, no clue, and seems all too willing to abrogate British sovereignty to the EU and globalist forces. Now, that is not to say that England under a Corbyn government would be any better for the British people. What is needed there is a nationalist uprising more akin to what we see happening in France, of course, but that remains for another day. One truth about British politics, at least for us Americans, is that sessions of Parliament certainly are colorful and in some ways could even be considered to be a bit of fun. Of course, that's all mixed in with what otherwise could be legislative drudgery. Now, here is, if I can quickly do this quick enough, right? Here is Jeremy Corbyn. Let's see if I got this right. I only have the one eye and I can't see, guys. It's actually kind of difficult. I think this one is it here. This is Jeremy Corbyn. While I kind of get this all lined up, don't forget the chat room. It's open insidetheeyelive.com. Insidetheeyelive.com. I actually am there, everybody, before we get the show going. A couple people there. I see Anon, Divide the Parasite, Blau Ocean, you guys. But you can join us in the chat room again, insidetheeyelive.com. That's insidetheeyelive.com. You can click on the live chat button if you'd like to give the show a call. Again, you can call us at 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Now, back to the story about Corbyn and this legislative coup attempt against Theresa May. What we did see here was that Corbyn, who is really the Labour Party to the in the UK politics, and is probably one of the more focused and powerful opponents to the Theresa May government, is he provided really some of the more entertaining and insightful jabs at what really is a problem inside of the UK and really inside of the West. And that is, of course, this constant subservience to globalist forces who do not listen to the people whatsoever. Here's a little take from Jeremy Corbyn.
Jeremy Corbyn!
It's very clear, Mr. Speaker, nothing has changed. If she needed any clarification, Mr. Speaker, if she needed any clarification about the temporary nature of the backstop, she needn't have gone to Europe. She could have just asked her Attorney General, who said it endures indefinitely. Yes. As the Prime Minister may recall, when she left on her journey, we were about to start day four of a five-day debate on the deal. Yeah. Since the Prime Minister has not achieved any changes, either to withdrawal agreement or the future partnership, can she now confirm that we will have the concluding days of debates and votes within the next 7 days before the House rises for the Christmas recess?
To the right honourable gentleman, I had discussions with a number of people yesterday and I have made some progress, but there is further... But of course there is an EU Council meeting, there are further discussions to be held. He asks about the meaningful vote. The meaningful vote has been deferred and the date of that vote will be announced in the normal way. The business motion will be agreed and discussed in the usual way. I'll tell members on the other side when we've had a meaningful vote. Yep. We had it in the referendum on 2016. And if he wants a meaningful date, I'll give him one. 29th of March 2019, when we leave the European Union.
Jeremy Corbyn!
Totally and absolutely unacceptable to this House in any way. This house, a agreed a programme motion. Yes. This House agreed the 5 days of debate. This House agreed when the vote was going to take place. The government tried to unilaterally pull that and deny this House the chance of a vote on this crucial matter. The Prime Minister and her government have already been found to be in contempt of Parliament. Her behaviour today is just contemptuous of this Parliament and of this process.
Yeah, when you hear kind of what's going on there, you know, what's happening in the UK is we have a globalist power. That globalist power largely consists of, when you really break it all down, it consists of Friends of Israel. So essentially, the UK is run by a bunch of Jewish-centric politicians. I think something like 70 to 85% of politicians inside of the UK are part of this larger extended group called Friends of Israel. So when you hear about Theresa May talking about, you know, we held a vote and that was for Brexit. This was back in 2016, guys, the same time that Donald Trump was elected president. You wonder why we have all these delays in governments, because we have so much sabotage and delay within our governments. We have a huge problem with really government officials that are, I guess sabotage is the best way to look at this, but Theresa May talked about how, you know, we put this a vote and it was 2016. It's like, woman, look, you idiot. You've had 2 years to try to put a deal together for the United Kingdom. You brought a deal together. You say it's the best deal possible. And for the British people who really actually care more about immigration, I'm talking about the British people, more about the cultural heritage of Britain, more about keeping Britain, Britain, and making Britain great again. That within many nationalists, and actually the older generation, call them the boomers if you want, these are some of the key issues for the British people. And it's very interesting, because as I was watching BBC with my eye all patched up, I took the patch off, by the way, and I'm trying to like struggle here just to get, because otherwise I won't be able to do the show. Can't put my glasses on over this giant patch. But anyways, watching the BBC debate, I was just thinking, May, you said you've made progress. No, you've already come back with a deal that basically the British Parliament cannot pass. It's so pathetically inept that you wonder what you've been doing for 2 years. And the British Parliament, they can't, even though it's globalist in nature, they really can't go back to their, I guess, to their people and their boroughs or whatever you want to call it over there and say, hey, we just passed a great deal. We're going to give away $40 billion to the EU, and we're going to be under EU laws, and we're going to basically have no sovereignty left. You know, that's basically what it appears. I'm not exactly sure, but that's what it appears. This Brexit deal by Theresa May has been basically, that's the terms of it. There's just a whole lot of, it's a terrible deal for the British people. It's a terrible deal for Britain. It's basically handing over sovereignty of the UK to Britain. And that's what the British people don't want. In fact, when I talk to people who are British, including like Paul English, who was here last week, Graham Hart, you know, privately, you know, one of the things they tell me is that, you know, we know we're ruled by a bunch of idiots, basically. They're not saying it in that terms. I'm putting it into American terms. But we want to make sure we're ruled by idiots in our own country. We don't want to be ruled by idiots over in the EU. We want to be able to get our hands on our own idiots. And that actually was voiced on the BBC. That sentiment was voiced, one of the opinions voiced. But we didn't find anything about the immigration side of UK politics, and immigration is what really drove Brexit. That's what drove it, was immigration. And yet all through this time watching the television and the BBC, and again, I don't watch television, it's unbearable, but this was really quite an historic day inside of the UK this past Wednesday, yesterday to be exact. So I did watch it, but I've just found it quite colorful, quite frankly, watching how it played out, the way it happened. It actually did have a lot of a personality to it. I saw some comments about how these British politicians are acting like a bunch of children, but I found it at least lively compared to the drudgery of watching these Jewish idiots we have in our Congress droning on and on and on about how we have to fight anti-Semitism all day and open borders are great for all of us, meaning to the Jewish people, of course, not to the American people. But here is Ian Bremmer again, really trying to keep the crowd under some type of control, meaning their 1922 committee here, because it really did get quite raucous and loud inside of that chamber. It was kind of entertaining to watch.
When she made her Lancaster House...
Order. Calm on both sides of the House. The questions will be heard however long it takes, and so will the answers. Don't try to shout down. All you do is wear out your voices, and you won't succeed. Amen. End of subject. Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah, kind of funny. He would have to do that a few times during this whole hearing. He'd have to break in order. Maybe we got to get Graham Hart on and let him do the order. Maybe we do a segment with Graham. Order. But nonetheless, it was kind of entertaining to watch. Jeremy Corbyn, quite frankly, was the only really superstar there that could command the audience. I was not impressed with anything. Now, a lot of the speakers, but apologists out there, they may say that May's been on her back foot, you know, the whole time. Pretty much from the day she stepped into office, she was not elected. She was basically installed. Going on the apologist side, that she's been pulled in various directions, one by the Remainers, who want to keep Britain basically into the softest type of Brexit possible. She seems to have delivered even beyond Remainer expectations. And then there's, of course, the Brexiters, those that the British people voted, and they're agitating for what really should be just a no-nonsense, very little compromise. Hey, look, we want out. We want to break with Brussels. You're all a bunch of idiots. We don't want to pay you for the privilege of having to be ruled by you idiots. And then the average Brit, of course, is getting increasingly, I don't know if that's actually true, but as it's being put out there, that the British people are getting increasingly worried about the UK's future beyond March of 2019. And the country is supposed to leave, of course, by that date. So all these factors are coming into play in the UK. And really, we as the Americans, we can't make any good deal with the British. Not even sure we should, quite frankly. We should declare almost like a state of war against the British elite, not the British people, but the British elite, because we do know for a fact that the British elite were engaged in attempting to really conduct a coup d'etat against the American people and the American government when they involved themselves in the Steele dossier to try to take down Donald Trump. So we have, as American nationalists, we have very serious concerns about what is going on inside of the UK. It's treasonous elements to its own people. And of course, it's act of war. Quite frankly, an act of war by the British intelligence services against the United States. These are very serious issues. But for the British people, and really for the Americans too, you know, we vote for change. We really vote per se to put people into power that deliver on things we want. And we'll kind of get into the wall and Schumer and Pelosi a little bit later in the show. I should probably watch my clock, huh? But, Corbyn has pretty much hit it on the nail. We have basically people standing in the way of the will of the people. And Theresa May is at the head of that. She's an incompetent buffoon. She's quite frankly not capable, not intelligent enough to actually get a deal done. She doesn't know how to negotiate. You know, Trump would talk about how stupid some of America's negotiators are. Well, he probably could put a picture of Theresa May up on the mantle as what stupid looks like, because this woman is so incompetent, quite frankly. She's had 2 years and she's basically been able to produce nothing. And that's kind of what Corbyn is saying, and probably the rest of the British people are saying. And here's what Corbyn had to say.
Time for dithering and delay is over.
Yes.
The Prime Minister has negotiated her deal. She is...
Right honourable gentleman will be heard. Jeremy Corbyn.
Yes. Mr Speaker, the time for dithering and delay by this government is over. The Prime Minister has negotiated her deal. She's told us it's the best and only deal available. There can be no more excuses, no more running away. Put it before Parliament and let's have the vote.
Yes.
Whatever happens with her Conservative leadership vote today, it is utterly irrelevant to the lives of people across our country. It does nothing to solve the government's inability to get a deal that works for the whole country.
Yeah.
She's already been found to be in contempt of Parliament. Will she now put this deal before Parliament and halt this escalating crisis, which is so damaging to the lives of so many people in this country?
We all know.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch inside the iLive primetime. Again, it's December the 13th, 2018. We're almost wrapping up the year. And thank goodness for that in some respects. You know, I'm really hoping this eye surgery works out okay. You know what I mean? Been a while. I haven't been able to see with two eyes now for quite some time. 2 years, quite frankly, going back to last... And really, it's about a year and 10 months, 12 months, yeah, not 12 months, a year and 9 months, I think, would be more accurate, where I've had eye problems. So, you know, they actually, anyways, I right now, my eye looks small. I'm kind of looking at it in the mirror, and it's super, 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 super red. It's kind of bruised. Feels like I got smacked upside the head. The eye feels bruised, and but hopefully we're going to be okay, everybody. We'll have to wait 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks. I'm going to actually be traveling back to Jordan this week. That's right. I got approval. I went to the head people. I said, look, I'm going to be doing this. I'm tired of working with one eye. And do you mind if I take some time off? They said, you know what? You're one of the better qualified guys we got here doing what you do. You deserve whatever you need to do. So please go take the time. And I'm very appreciative of that type of support that I got here. So I am going to be leaving for Jordan next week after I do a follow-up, you know, basically a surgery follow-up this week, a weekend for you guys. But for us, the start of the week on Sunday, I'll go in, I'll get the eye checked, make sure there's no infection, things like that. And then I plan, once that's all cleared, to get out of here and get to Jordan, where I will recover and recuperate there, where people can cook for me. I can keep my feet up. I can keep my head back. Just let the thing heal, because it's actually quite painful, to be honest with you. Very uncomfortable. I wouldn't call it quite painful. That's not fair. I think there's a lot of, it's very inconveniently, not inconvenient. It's very, once you say that, it's agitated. I don't know the term. It's not good. It doesn't feel good right now. And every time I'm supposed to put eye drops in like every 3 to 4 hours. And every time it drops in, I can just feel like this bruising inside the eye. And it's like, damn, that actually hurts more than the drop itself. So anyways, I hope to be okay, everybody. But that's just the way it goes. I will be in Jordan broadcasting the next show. If everything goes well, we're going to actually be in Jordan, not Saturday, but for next Thursday's show. So we may be live streaming that on YouTube, since I will be live at my house. Maybe I'll put that live on YouTube again from Jordan. So that'll be kind of fun if we do that. Saturday, we're going to have a very special guest, Tan Stoffel. He is a guy behind a website called Age of Treason. And he's been dealing with issues like the Jewish question, Jewish problem, for quite some time. Like yours truly, he also engages in rhetoric, rhetorical framing, words, things of that nature that are very popular here that we, of course, engage in. So we're going to bring in Tan Stoffel. He's been requested by a lot of people over the years, and I've never, ever gotten him on. I finally just decided that because of my condition here, let's bring in someone that's really strong that can help to fill in an hour worth of show and really provide you with a lot of great information, because it's hard for me to even read right now. So I'm really looking forward to having Tan Stoffel on. again on Saturday. He's going to come on at the 12 o'clock hour. And then the following Sunday, Saturday, the 22nd, we are going to be bringing back Mr. Jan Lamprecht from History Reviewed about information from South Africa. I find him, quite honestly, for me, one of the more reliable people coming out of South Africa and who understands the real full picture, including issues of Jewish politics. And I think we all do ourselves a disfavor when we do not factor in all of the political players here. I don't know if you guys saw the meeting with Donald Trump this week. It was broadcast with Chuck Schumer and I believe Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi. And guys, I mean, what this is basically two Jews walking into the White House going to go try to make some demands on the president of the United States. This isn't about the people. This is about Jewish power, Jewish control. And if you want to make that out to be anything other than it is, okay, I can't stop you for that. But we are not going to stop raising the issue to you, the listener, and to the general public out there and wherever you may find me, which is typically on Gab, Facebook, and some not too much BitChute, quite frankly. And I've been denied Twitter, and I have figured probably we should not grant Twitter any more access to our information equally. And that's going to be another story I think we'll cover in the second hour equally. Anyways, it's listener sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to keep the network live, up and running. And without your generous donations, quite honestly, we don't have a platform. And if there's no platform, honestly, there will be no Inside the Eye Live. It's really that simple. So if you do appreciate Inside the Eye Live, then you just keep the platform open. It's a very important part of this show. I like to do live shows, everybody. I like the challenge. I like the feel of a live show. I'm not so much into just doing podcasts. I find podcasts okay, quite frankly. Yes, we can do them. Yes, we have done them. But I prefer a live show if I can get a live show done. So out of the live show, we still get the podcast, and that's a good thing. But to do a live show, we need a platform. So again, we thank you for all the support over the years, and I've gotten some emails from people. Fetch, I've been listening to you since the Oracle days. I get a lot of those, quite frankly, and those are so warm and kind of cool to get, because if you think about it, I've been doing this for so long now. We were at one time the cutting edge of this whole idea, this whole movement, this whole Patriot Radio, Oracle Broadcasting, and this show. We were at that forward leading edge, and then we brought the show here when Oracle shut down. And it shut down for what? Economic reasons. Yes, it was making money, but their expenses were too high, quite frankly. So it's expensive to run these things. So again, do what you can to support the show. The ITEL Cat Report, let me just go back. You can do that at revolution.radio, everybody. Revolution.radio. Find the support pages there. The ITEL Cat Report, it's proudly sponsored by Friends of Grism.blogspot.com. And at Friends of Grism, of course, if you are familiar, Grism.blogspot.com, they are the official archiver of the show here. They Zap over there edits everything. He puts it up, and he does this for many dozens of shows. And he's tirelessly does this, quite frankly. He's part of our extended network. And we have, by the way, solidified our base. We saw it eroding for quite some time, but it's become solidified again. That's good to see. Not where it was back before the summer. We don't know what happened. We assume we lost some affiliates or something. We lost something. Something happened. We just don't know what it was to make our numbers crash like it did. Something happened, but it's stabilized now. And it's still not bad. We're not complaining. We'd like to see it better, of course, but we're not complaining. But all of this isn't really possible without Zap. Zap is the one that really enables all this. So again, buy Zap a cup of coffee. The ITEL Cat Report, it's kind of big news for those of you who follow the cats. Spiker has been officially kicked out of the house, and for good reason. And the reason why is he's a sweetheart cat. He really is a sweetheart cat. Except for he has a huge problem getting along with Bruiser. And Bruiser, being blind, he just will not accept any cat inside the house that doesn't smell that Bruiser accepts. So what we have here is a problem with Bruiser and him fighting all the time. So we've had to shut the access to where Bruiser could actually go to the bathroom, which would be inside of the bathroom, quite frankly. We tried to put some things down for him to use, like litter boxes, and he just refused to use them. So basically, he was making a problem literally everywhere in the house, in the corners, under the beds, on the couches. That's not a great thing. So the girls had to take everything apart, clean it all up. They put a little tiny house outside the front door and put blankets inside there. Spiker does have a cute little black kitten friend. So they sleep now together inside that box. And even if it's raining, they just stay there. And the house, I'm being told, is much cleaner. We do not definitely want to turn my house into a cat litter box because the cat has no common sense there. So he has been officially booted from the house. He's still part of the house, but he's booted from inside. They tried to bring him in Tuesday, put him up on the refrigerator and tried to feed him because Emily just likes him. He is a sweetheart cat, no doubt about that. He is a sweetheart, except for this huge problem. And they ended up getting into a huge fight, and Emily ended up getting her feet all scratched trying to break Bruiser and him up. Bruiser is funny. I'll tell you what, when he gets into a scuffle with a foreign cat, he is determined, man. You just can't break him up. He's like a bulldog. You just cannot break him up. He is difficult to sidetrack. You can smack him upside with a hammer, and he's just not going to be fazed. He's just something. He just goes on and on and on. So it's very dangerous, quite frankly, to have cats scruffling in your house, getting scratched and all that stuff. So I kind of supported the move. So Spiker now is officially been kicked out of the house. So we tried to bring him in, but just not working. So obviously we still take care of him. We still feed him and all that stuff. And we give him a nice, kind of a nice little home for outside. And he likes it. He's happy. So that's a good thing. We're happy for that. But that's the latest on the cat report. So thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to buy Zap a cup of coffee over at grism.blogspot.com. Because, hey, without that, again, we don't have the archives. And he does a great job. He basically, when I finish the show, guys, my energy's beat. I'm tired. It's like going to be 4 a.m. The last thing I want to do is try to get all this stuff uploaded and ready for you within 5, 10, 20 minutes. We don't have it automated. We did have it automated at Oracle, by the way, but we don't have it automated here. So Zap does all that work. So just keep Zap in your thoughts this Christmas. Send him something, because really it all helps at the end of the day. You have no idea how much it really does. I remember in my poorest days, guys, I was actually surviving on these donations, and I made almost nothing, but at least it bought the food, it paid for my lights, did whatever. So it all really helps, guys. And then, of course, after we had, you know, got to work again and got some good sponsors like Frederick C. Blackburn over at Blackburn Nine's Breakfast Club, you know, without the donations, it would have been very, very difficult. So it really is important that you continue to open up and assist financially. Let's see here. Let me see if I can do this correctly without making too much of a fuss and a headache.
Oi, vey. Oi, Gavalt. It's like another shower.
Oi, vey.
Oi, vey.
Oi, vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Peers.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
And this week's Oy Vey moment is coming to us from, really, the UK via, I think, Hungary. I think it's UK via Hungary, something like that. And usually what I do is when I'm getting ready to do the Oy Vey moment, I go do a web search on what is some of the latest aggravating anti-Semitic incidents that Jews want to whine about. And, you know, usually you find like 4, 5, 6, 7 different items that you might want to carry. Sometimes you got to go to Twitter. Sometimes you got to go to other sources to try to get really what is it Jews are whining about this week. And normally there's, again, 4, 5, 6, 7 stories. This week there's one story, and it's basically the UK footballers again. UK footballers, also known as soccer hooligans to some of you people out there. There's a club called Chelsea, and Chelsea and Tottenham. I know I probably didn't say that right, but if Graham likes how I say it, that's good, right, Graham? But anyways, Chelsea and Tottenham. Now, Tottenham, they have a very, the demographic of that fan base is Jewish, basically. And so I think they call themselves the Yid Idiots, or the Yidiots for short. No, not Yidiots. They call themselves the Yid Monkeys. No, not the Yid Monkeys. What was it again? They call themselves the Yid Mongrels. No, the Yid Morons. No. Oh, no, it's the Yid Army. That's right. It's the Yid Army. So what happens is you've got this club called Tottenham. And they got something known as the Yid Army. And essentially, all of the fans at Tottenham are Jews, essentially. It's a high Jewish population fan base. So basically, what they like to do is talk about how we're the Yid Army. And in football, European football, there's a lot of taunting chants that go back and forth. It's part of the scene. It's always been part of the scene. And it's kind of like if you're American and you went to a high school game and you had chants going back and forth across the field back in the high school days. It's kind of like that, but on a much more elevated scale. And it sometimes does get actually into violence. We don't ever want to promote violence normally within our sports in America. But inside of the UK, inside of European football, this is a very big part of the culture, is this chanting. And so the Chelsea fans are very close, and they have a big rivalry with the Idiots. I mean, the Yid Army. And so they're always chanting what's called anti-Semitism. See, because, you know, the Yid Army can brag all day about how they're Yidiots. I mean, Yid Army-ish or whatever the term is, but nobody can ever talk about the Jewish people. See, that's against the law. You're going to be investigated. So I open up this thing, and I swear, Chelsea promises strong actions against alleged anti-Semitic chants. Chelsea condemns anti-Semitic chanting in Budapest. Chelsea condemned anti-Semitic chanting from fans. Chelsea calls out morons who shame club with anti-Semitic chanting. The UEFA launch investigation. Chelsea condemns fans abhorrent. See, and it goes on and on and on. It's like, geez, Chelsea soccer team condemns fans over anti-Semitic chant. Chelsea condemns anti-Semitic chant by fans in Budapest. Chelsea condemns. This is just all under anti-Semitism, guys. There's no other stories. It's just about Chelsea. Oh, and then the Seattle Times finally got into the mix. Anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Yeah, that's got a great marketing. I like these other ones. Chelsea condemn anti-Semitic chants during Europa League clash. Anti-Semitic video flyers were promoted in the wake of a Hitler prom salute photo. That would actually probably be a good one, too. I should probably open that story. But Chelsea condemn anti-Semitic chanting in Hungary. Guys, it goes on and on and on and on. The search is not for Chelsea. The search is for anti-Semitism. And this whole page is nothing but Chelsea, 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 Chelsea. Now, what is Chelsea? Chelsea is a Jewish-run organization. It's not British-owned. It's Jewish-owned. It's basically most likely mafia money. It was oligarch money stolen from Russia and then brought over to buy a British institution like Chelsea. So we have to ask ourselves, if Chelsea has such a problem with all of this anti-Semitic chanting or this anti-Jewish chanting, which is all part of the natural scene there, shouldn't the Jewish people sell their stake and get out of Britain? Because why should they be complaining all the time about their customers? I'm not sure I like that. But you see, in the Jewish world, telling you what you can say and what you can't say is just par for the course. You're not allowed to say something because, hey, we're Jewish and we told you. Now shut up, goy, and get down and sit down. That's kind of how Jews treat people. It's very arrogant, very disgusting type of behavior here. Now, you may not actually agree with them, but you know what? If you leave it and don't make a big deal out of it, it goes away. We all get back to work. It's part of the sporting scene. Now, if you want to get into going after racially targeting people, well, I think that at this stage in the European experiment, Jews should stop using and pushing multiculturalism onto the native populations, because that's what they're doing. It's a very big problem. They're basically buying up talent around the world just to push multiculturalism. And if the people and the customers don't want it, then stop pushing it. That's what I would tell them. Why don't you put together a British club instead of putting together some international club? Again, I know it's not really politically correct to even say that. And I, quite frankly, I may not even agree with those statements. But at the same time, I'm tired of also hearing Jews whining about everything. See what I mean? It's not like I really want to see like all these racial taunts at people. But at the same time, I don't want to see Jews pushing their agenda on me through their sports. So there's a two-eyed, this sword has two sides to it. One is the one that you're using to fight against Jewish people, but at the other time, when are Jews going to start recognizing their war against British people, against European civilization? See, to me, that's part of what all this is going down to, and we're not seeing all that. Now, in Budapest here, it says Chelsea has now condemned. Oh, give us a break, Chelsea. Do you realize how stupid you look now? You're condemning what? You're whining for the Jewish people on a political issue, because we're hearing this political issue everywhere. So consequently, I don't have a problem with the fans elevating the chants even more, because you're pushing a political agenda of tolerance, of Jewish intolerance of the rest of us. That's what we are seeing here. That's what we are witnessing here. So Chelsea, they condemn their own supporters who were heard singing an anti-Semitic chant. Well, that anti-Semitic chant is named, or it's actually going towards the Yidiots in Tottenham. The Yidiots are basically that. They're Yidiots, okay? They're rabidly pro-Israel, pro-Jewish groups. Nobody's condemning them for their clear racist stuff. So why should you condemn someone going against them? To me, it's like we're always playing a game with one hand tied behind our back. Now, there was a case recently. There was another player called Raheem something or other. And there were some chants towards him. And Chelsea and the Metropolitan Police are opening investigations. To me, all I hear is Jewish people declaring war on Western civilization. Now, only 2 minutes, they say, into their Europa League group match at MOL, which is in Hungary, a minority of the 1,273 Chelsea supporters at the match began chanting anti-Semitic abuse. Well, again, this is misreporting. It's not telling us the truth. Nowhere do I see what the chant is. Nowhere do I see how it's put into context. Nowhere do I see that it's actually targeting the Yidiots in Tottenham. I'm not seeing any of that. All I'm seeing is an agenda being put forward through the use of this event in Hungary. And knowing the false flag Yidiocy of Jewish people in their press, who are we to say that whatever this is, wasn't another false flag by Jewish people to try to taunt people to do something, to get involved into something just so Jews have something to whine, kvetch, and oy vey about. Now, a Chelsea spokesman said after the match, "Anti-Semitism and any other kind of race-related or religious hatred is abhorrent to this club and the overwhelming majority of our fans. It has no place at Chelsea or in any of our communities." Then what is the Jewish community doing towards the highly aggressive Muslim and Pakistani populations in the UK? Have they spoken out against these issues? Have they said that we have to stop immigration to stop these problems? See, where is the Jewish community in actually doing something proactive that helps everybody other than themselves? It's the Fetch Inside the Life Frame Time. Back with you right after this. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. It's Thursday, November. I don't know why. December the 13th, 2018. Only a few more weeks to go. A couple more weeks for Christmas. A few more to get through the year. And joining us from Salmon Arm, Vera. Hi, Vera. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hi, Fetch. Long time no speak to.
Yeah, a little bit. How you doing?
Good. I enjoyed the show last week, other than that guy that called in. What's his problem?
I don't know. He's kind of famous for that. I just let it go now. And they call him Rabbi Rick.
Really?
Yeah, that's kind of people joke he's Rabbi. But anyways, it was a good show. We're going to have another great one lined up. I'm not going to do 2 hours, but we're going to have a great show lined up with Don Stoffel this weekend. So it's going to be kind of nice. So we're looking forward to
that. Oh, excellent.
But yeah, it was a good show. I think last Saturday, if people didn't hear it, it was a fun show. I enjoyed it. Paul's a great guy to talk with, and
absolutely,
we had a great conversation, and it actually got going pretty good as we kind of warmed into it. I thought we had a great conversation with lots of different data points, to use a Blackbird 9 type of idea. By the way, everybody, you can join us in the chat room insidetheeyelive.com. Click on that live chat button if you want to join the conversation there. It's kind of quiet right now. Or the telephone line, like Vera uses, 1-323-275-1314. So, Vera, how are things? How are things up in Canada with Trudeau and Huawei? You know, we're thinking about talking about the Huawei incident.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I think that's a political thing.
And, it's 100% political.
You never know, like, whether it's all inside. Like, you know what I mean? And it's just made for show for us on the outside. That's the thing that I got a problem with. Because we hear one end, we hear the media, and we do know 99.999 is BS, you know?
Yeah.
But it certainly does seem weird, and then there's now like a little bit of a tit for tat. Apparently, China has now imprisoned one person, and apparently another person today they imprisoned.
Yes.
You know,
the first one was a guy that was working with the International Crisis Group out of Hong Kong. And then he was in Beijing, and then everyone's saying that, we can't find our employee, which is really a stupid thing to say, because that's basically now admitting that he was breaking Chinese law, because ICG does not have official NGO recognition in Beijing. So therefore, if he was working in Beijing, he would actually be in violation of Chinese law, and he's under full rights to be taken by the Chinese. So that was
legit.
Yes. Well, basically, they made it.
That Wang Wei lady, or whoever she is.
Even if it was tit for tat, you know, it's they just basically proved the point. So they just took away any leverage they had, because they're basically admitted that he's an employee of theirs working. So that would make it very bad.
Yeah.
For him. And he's a former Canadian diplomat. And then you have another Canadian who was arranging for the trips into North Korea, which would have made him actually a very valuable channel for a lot of intel agencies, because you could arrange the trips in, and he's now been disappeared. He's not been admitted, I don't think, but he's just disappeared.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, the whole
thing may not hurt because it's governmental stupidity. That's all I can say.
Well, this is all about U.S. transnational, what do we call it? Transnational judicial system where they make laws, and then if Jews say arrest them for laws that we make here, we're going to hold you responsible for those laws. And, you know, Huawei, this is purely political because Huawei is a major telecommunications network infrastructure provider. And I suspect, quite frankly, I suspect, we'll just kind of share the story now that you've called. I suspect what's happening is that Israel is not able to hack into it.
Oh, big problem, eh?
Yeah, I think that's the real issue here. So Israel can hack into anything from the West, so Israel has full access to all data communications in the West. But I suspect that the Chinese haven't enabled the Israelis to do that so readily and easily. And so consequently, there are efforts to take them down because that means that you cannot control the keys to the back doors of all the telecommunications infrastructure. And that's probably why they're taking Huawei out, aside also from the fact that it's a huge business. This is basically protectionism on steroids. Take out your competition, you know?
Yeah.
Through basically using your courts to take your competition out, so... I suspect
they put up the bail for 10 million or something. Okay. Obviously she's got the money, but it's her dad's company, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's a huge company. You know, Huawei phones are very big. I have two Huawei phones, not here, but in Jordan. I've met many times with the director of training for Huawei here in Riyadh. I know exactly where their office is. I could go there anytime. I've met with Huawei officials inside of Jordan. Being in the telecom sector, I've met a lot of these people. So I kind of get the game, and I'm really sure that all of this stuff is really not so much that they're spying on us, but they cannot spy. Meaning the Israelis cannot spy and the Americans can't spy, so they're upset with that. And just reverse the story. They're saying, the Chinese are spying us. No, that's not why. It's because you don't have access to the keys and you're pissed off because you want to spy on all of us because you got to protect your pedophiles. You got to protect your drug dealers. You got to protect all these people that are engaged in massive criminal activity. So you want to take them out so you can continue to spy.
Yeah.
Protect your assets, which is your child predators. And, you know, it's even worse. You know, I'm hearing some really sick stories about that, you know, Vera, on the child thing, you know, where they're
harboring.
They're harvesting something called adrenochrome or something like that. And basically it's the terrorized blood of children.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you do, like I met a Taoist guy. And the Taoist guy, he said, you know, in order for us to take this substance to heal, to get this energy, because they use energy to heal with. And this one particular energy comes from deer that eat a particular type of lichen. And the lichen builds up inside the liver of the deer. So they will basically feed the deer this lichen to the point to where the liver is basically filled with the toxins from this lichen. And then from that, they can then harvest the chemical to heal whatever they need to do. So they're basically harvesting the deer for a medical purpose. Well, these people in the super dark world are harvesting children literally by terrorizing them through all kinds of trauma, sexual abuse, etc., just to get the blood to excrete everything into the blood, and then they harvest the blood. That's pretty sick stuff.
It's beyond sick, and they need to be caught and stopped. Like, you know, I had some very bad experiences when I was a young girl. I'm definitely not going to go into it, but I know, you know, the sick side of things in, you know, from personal experience, not to that degree. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, guess who always stepped in? Christians. Just went out of their way to step in to protect a little girl that was just naive and I was just very open, right? You know, so people can nab someone like that very easy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Anyways, I wanted to ask you, have you heard anything about Bashar Assad? Because we heard somewhere on the internet that he was taken out. Is that man still alive?
I haven't heard that at all.
Okay.
No, I haven't heard that. That would have been huge news here, you know, in Saudi press. That would have been such, you couldn't have hit it. So if it's happened, it's still confidential and secret. But no, I haven't heard that. But you know what? Keep looking. You should see him. He's always big at attending Christmas festivals. So he should show up in public. He's not like Western leaders. He mingles with the people and gets out. He's not.
Yeah. You know,
a lot of these places here,
like a down-to-earth individual.
Even in Jordan, King Abdullah, if he wanted, could just go out in public and no one would hassle him. You know what I mean? He would be mobbed with friendship if he would actually go in public without his security detail. This is very normal for the Middle East. Leaders don't hide like you might think they do. But in the West, you know, they're so above and beyond everybody. They just think they should just have, you know, rings of security details, et cetera. Now, that's not to say they don't have them here, but you do have phenomena here.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Trudeau makes himself look like he's very open. But we know that man is just following some sick agenda all the way down the line. You know, the latest, because they're still bringing in more and more and more, and they're because it's a UN mandate to bring in all these invaders. Let's not call them refugees.
That mandate is not legally binding by any country.
Exactly.
It's just an agreed upon compact, but it's not legally binding on anybody. But of course,
to
sign it makes people now feel obligated to do it, but there's no legal obligation.
Well, this is exactly what Bush Sr. said when he said in 1991, the first time I think he was recorded saying it, you know, the New World Order and blah, 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 and a credible United Nations. Well, when you got to say credible, you know, it's lying. Why would you have to throw that in? And we know he's a criminal. I mean, the first time I saw him on TV, I just knew he was a pedophile. It just radiated through me, okay? You know?
Yeah. And you know what's interesting about that Bush funeral? Were all of the papers and envelopes that were delivered to, like, Hillary, to Barbara Bush, not Barbara Bush, but to Bush, you know, the wife of George Bush.
Yeah, is that Laura? Laura
Bush, thank you. Jeb Bush saw it in their reactions. Something's up that's quite deep.
Okay, so, I didn't really see that, but, you know, I didn't watch the whole show. I taped several, and then I skimmed through certain parts, and then they didn't even look at Trump. So you could just feel.
They were delivered like envelopes. And they were in shock. And the only one that maintained her poker face was Hillary. You could see it got to her, but she did keep a poker face. But you can see underneath the face, it's whatever it was, it hit home. I mean, so there's something afoot going on deep, deep, deep. And it doesn't look well for these traitors in our government.
Well, if that is true, all I can say is thank God to that and let it happen really quick.
Sooner the better, yes. But
absolutely.
It doesn't look good for them. I mean, there's something afoot. And
the only thing is, we know Trump is well, he said it, but and his relatives are married to all these Jews, Israeli Jews, Israeli firster people. So Like, is it going to get one batch of criminals out to get others in?
Yeah,
or?
No, I've discussed this in a show recently. We do have, you know, essentially we the people are left out of this, although Trump needs the people for cover. But yeah. There is a war within the Jewish community, and one is a very dark, deep, satanic system. And that is basically leftists, the Hollywood elite, a lot of the Democratic Party, perhaps. And then you have your nationalist Israelis, which have a little bit more common sense, and are at least you can do business with them. And so that's
not all as sick as some. Yeah.
So with Salvini, he's the prime minister, the prime minister, I believe, of Italy. Even he went and did his mandatory kiss the wall and screw the wall in Jerusalem thing just this week. But, you know, he's still far more rational. And again, he's cut migrant landings to like 94% down. You know, it's only like 4% of what it was before. So he's done an excellent job for the Italian people in that regard.
Oh, well, good for him. Good for him.
But again, you still
got... Because, you know, I personally have nothing against anybody. I just want this sick behavior to stop. And they're pushing for their... You know, they're one world order, and they want us all out. I mean, I can kind of understand them wanting us out, because if everybody knew what they're doing, they would hang them.
I mean, yes.
There's definitely lots that would take them out with no problem. So, and I don't think they're stupid, Fetch. I mean, you do keep saying they're stupid. They're not really stupid. They're not. They're sick, but they're not dumb.
See, the thing is that,
in my opinion, you know,
here's
what I mean?
The thing. Here's the thing. The reality of it is that if you had instruments of state, they are stupid, and you could break it fairly fast. But they control the instruments of state.
Yeah.
In other words, if
they
you
control
have
the money supply.
Well, yeah, but also the instruments of state equally. I mean, if take the. Yeah, the money supply is obviously the key here, but if you control instruments of state, a lot of this stuff is easy to break because they make mistakes all the time. You just can't touch them for it. What do you think?
Yeah.
Podesta? Come on, Podesta's been basically shown to have pictures of a swimming pool, pictures of children with like their arms tied behind their back where it looks like there's ritual drowning going on, but you
really?
Can't touch them. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, basically you
see... And we know he's Chinese, right?
Yeah, of course he's Chinese. Yeah, they're all Chinese. But, you know, we have all of this information, but it's all been put out there. Hillary, come on. She's been already admitted to have had 30,000 plus missing emails, okay? Already, that's enough to have you taken out already. It's not like they're smart. There's something else going on. Because there's some instruments of state that the levers can't touch. Now, you can call that smart. Okay, yeah, you can call that part of it smart. If you know what I mean. You can call that smart. But
yeah, because look how far they've gotten. That's the thing. How far they've gotten. But we have to be as sick as they are in a way, or very, not show our hand, you know? Like, you know, and it's got to be someone, people still high up that can get at them in order to take them out and get rid of them, imprison them, whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's not...
To protect the rest of humanity, I mean...
And it's something I have, like, semi-advocated for without trying to call for violence, but there are now reports of people showing up dead. That we know are really bad, 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 bad people.
Well,
and at the end of the day, when you have the courts and everybody else working to keep this evil going, good, somewhere along the line, must take matters into its hands equally. You cannot allow yourself to be overrun by darkness. Otherwise, obviously you have a dark world.
Yeah.
And of course, then you equally have to be just as smart as they are in how it's being done, which requires what? Instruments of state.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole point here is instrument of state must be used. An instrument of state isn't always a good guy. Instrument of state has all the power to basically do whatever it needs to do to maintain whatever it needs to maintain.
Yeah.
And we know that. So, okay, fine. Good should not, good needs to work. That's the sad reality of the situation, because if you can bring it to the courts and the courts just say, oh, you're fine. So basically they took that kid in Charlottesville. They give him 500 years for probably something. He's just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yet at the same time,
according to Fetzer, that's the truth. This guy wasn't even in the car.
No. Yeah, he's purely in the wrong place at the wrong time. And just to send a message, you destroy someone, you say, okay, jail 500 years and a 500. Yeah. $1,000 fine?
Life plus 500 years.
Yeah, plus you can have a migrant who basically goes and rapes children 9, 10, 12 years old and kills them, and the courts are saying, well, they didn't know better, let them out. It's just part of their culture.
That's just part of their religion or something.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
so
the girls just shouldn't be dressed like that, or the boys, or who knows, because they're doing sick things with little boys too. I mean, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. I hope your eyes get better soon.
Oh, me too, man. It's right now I got like they put a gas inside, you know? I don't know. So like basically I've got this round bubble floating at the bottom of my eye. And if I look straight towards down, I got this big black like bubble that I'm looking through, and they said, oh, no, dude, that's the gas. I'm like, okay, how long is it going to last, dude? I said, oh, 4 days. 4 days? Man, this ain't going to disappear in 4 days. I hope it does, but I can just see because it's like, you know, you get this, the refraction, you know, as it goes through the gas. And so when I look forward, everything is off by like 2 inches. It really sucks, man. I'm like not happy.
Oh. So it's hard to see everything in that.
Yeah,
well,
most
at least
yet. You know, so if I look straight, I'll see better than before. Not really, but it's like off by, everything seems like it's off 2 inches or so, but I'm sure that will probably clear up once this fluid starts to clear. Because the refractive index, you know, of the fluids inside the eye aren't like regular fluid yet. I'm now got to wait for my eye to recreate its own fluid.
Oh, yeah. Something. Well, heal quickly, man. You suffered long enough. Hey?
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I'm getting tired of it. That's for sure.
And at least you get to see Emily pretty soon. When are you going out there?
This week. I don't know first I got to get the clearance to travel, and then I can go. I'll go in Sunday and try to get the clearance. And then once I have the clearance, I can book everything and take off.
Good.
So it will be nice to get out of here and relax for a few weeks, you know, and be home for Christmas. That'll be a nice thing. But everybody said gave the blessing, so I'm going to be looking forward to getting out of here without too much stress about leaving and stuff like that with contract. Technically, I'm supposed to stay through to the end of the year. And it's like, okay, great. I can go. Bye.
Yeah.
So
it's almost the end of the year anyways. Pretty
darn
close.
People are still working up here until the 27th, 28th.
Doesn't it go fast, Fetch?
Too fast.
This year has just been unbelievable. And I want to say, you know, we just got snow, let's say, within this past little while, because we were getting rain. And that is not normal for Salmon Arm. There's more snow in North Carolina. Apparently they got all the snow that they normally get in a year in one day. Oh, yeah, they're not messing with the weather.
Well, I think it's flat Earth, you know, and so basically they
shifted
a little bit, you know, and so now the snow is just falling on a different part of the flat Earth. So, you know, don't let it fool
you. Never mind. One of my brothers believes that, and then I say, well, whatever. You know, because, you know, I'm not flying around to take a look, you know. I just said, what does it matter anyways? Even if it is true. I really don't care. I personally just think that is something just in there to boggle the mind again, you know, stupefy.
Yeah, I've actually had other people tell me the same thing. They're saying, you know, even if that were true, the real problems we have are our government systems.
Whether that's right.
Doesn't matter.
Exactly. You
know, whatever, but we need to get control of our governmental systems. All right. Thanks so much, Vera, for filling that time. I'm going to run off. It's a break time already.
And, all right.
Talk soon.
So nice talking to you, Pat.
Yeah, equally. Have a good
day. Bye-bye.
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 Back with everybody right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live prime time again for Thursday, December the 13th. I got to look at my clock there. December the 13th, 2018. Again, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for joining again on this Thursday. Hope your Thursday is going well. Hope you had a great day today. I hope you got a nice weekend planned. We got a nice weekend planned for you for Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware. Again, Tan Stoffel is going to be with us from ageoftreason.com, and that should be a great conversation. He's a very intelligent type of guy with a lot of great information, so be sure to check us out. He'll be on the 12 o'clock hour. Again, that's on the 12 o'clock hour Saturday, so be sure to join us for that. We'd love to have you for that for sure. If you didn't catch last week's show, Saturday with Paul English, again, another great show. We long conversation, 2-hour conversation, but it turned out very, very well. And already it's done very well in the aftermarket, the archive, as we say. So you might want to check that out equally, because it went down very, very well. I don't know if you saw the article or the stories coming out of California through CNN, but there's a guy named Ted Liu. Ted Liu, that would be a Chinese guy, said he would actually love to be able to regulate free speech, but lamented the First Amendment is preventing him. I'm not actually sure. I actually went and found it just to hear what he had to say. And here's what Ted Liu had to say. This again, Ted Liu. He is a representative from California with the House of Representatives.
I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so. And that's simply a function of the First Amendment. But I think over the long run, it's better that government does not regulate the content of speech. I would urge these private sector companies to regulate it better themselves. But it's really nothing that I believe government can do. And so that's been my position all along.
Yeah, he's kind of like, I think, trying to fit in with the narrative there. He probably should word it better. I was almost tempted to call his office today and try to get some clarification from him. But essentially, guys, here's where it's at. You've got a situation now where you have a lot of people on the Democratic side, especially, but also the Republican side. And what they want to do is they want to regulate what you can and can't listen to, what you can and can't hear. And the way that CNN and others are putting this is largely, you know, controlling conspiracy theories, controlling fake news. Well, the real problem we have with this, of course, is that although it sounds okay to the less gifted amongst us, to those of us who have really followed the government and followed news over the years and decades for that matter, and dealt heavily into the political environment, which is basically Jewish control of our economy, Jewish control really of pretty much everything, certainly culture, economy, politics, foreign policy, domestic policy in many cases, also banking. What we find, though, is that part of what the media wants to sell, and the media, of course, is Jewish, what they want to speak to us about conspiracy theories are often always proven true. So for an institution or a company like a Facebook or a Twitter or a Gab, for that matter, or a YouTube or a Google, for them to be engaged in any given way about controlling what is and isn't said on the web, we should view first with suspicion, but second as a violation or an assault on our freedoms here in the West. And the reason for that is these companies offer these services for free. And what that means is that we, as consumers of these products, are the product itself. We produce, we write, we put posts up, and that generates traffic to their websites. It generates views, of course. It generates clicks and all these things that go into making these companies profitable. They harvest our locations. They harvest our taste. They harvest our search criteria. They harvest as many data points as possible, all because we are the product. They make money off of us. We are a partner in this. Now, for them to sit around and tell us what we can and can't post, what we can and can't read, now they are engaging themselves in the actual publishing business. As far as I'm concerned, all of these companies should be basically utilities. They should have absolutely zero say in what goes out over their platform. They should be 100% neutral, and if not, they should be absolutely fined to the point of being destroyed or broken up and taken out of business. They are simply too powerful. They are simply too ideologically driven. And remember, ideology and idiocy are basically the same thing. They are simply too draconian. They are oftentimes filled with a lot of stupid people. Again, there is a lot of stupidity on this planet. And so why should we allow some idiot or idiotic social justice warrior nutcase with zero life experience to determine for our society what we can and can't view, what we can and can't read based on some stupidity called fake news that they want to promote themselves? Because when we break it all down, when we hear elements of discussion about how these platforms should censor themselves, police themselves more, what you're really then defaulting back into is a Jewish construction of artificial intelligence that is entirely designed to protect Jewish power here in the West. And that, my friends, is very dangerous because they already have too much power. They took down the World Trade Centers, everybody. They have engaged America in a war called the War on Terror that has cost untold trillions. They are leaving body bags all over the planet. They are importing the drugs. They are behind so much of what ills this nation. Yet they don't want you to even begin to research the phenomena. They want to literally use artificial intelligence to try to sniff out even the very first inklings of a protest or opposition to their power. Quite simply put, we cannot afford as a democracy or a republic to allow and enable this type of technocratic censorship upon our nations. We all talk about how free speech should not be impinged upon by the government, yet we seem so willing to allow ideologically technocratic companies with abusive market power to determine for us what can and cannot be said. You know, when we had a situation just a month ago with the midterms in the United States, and we've learned that Facebook deleted some 2 billion, that's a billion, pages of conservative-centric content. What this tells us is that the ideology was driven to deny conservative voices in America a say in the political process. For me, that's a coup d'etat. And I personally think the state, we the people as government, should take out those people responsible, arrest them, destroy their jobs, destroy their careers, because they have harmed the republic to no end degree. And they want to determine for us what we can decide to do on our own countries. To me, this is beyond criminal, it's treasonous. And they should be dealt with as traitors to the people. It was an interesting discussion this week. Lots of interesting things been going on at the leadership level. You know, we talked about the George Bush, quote-unquote, funeral with all of these envelopes passing along some of the most elite political families in America. I'm talking about the Clintons and the Bushes themselves. And these people were getting all of these envelopes. And let me get this call in real quick. I see why that's happening. Hi, Frank from North Carolina. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live. Primetime.
Thank you, Butch. Hey, I'm kind of in sync with you on topic, I think. I figured I'd go ahead and bring it up. Are you familiar at all? And I'm only getting it secondhand. I'll call it a rant, a tweet, or something by Ann Coulter, where basically she said the Democratic Party is basically just a bunch of Jews, homosexuals, et cetera, et cetera, black church ladies, et cetera. And the one thing that they all have in common that brings them together is they all hate white males.
Yeah, I did see her tweet that out. I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah, I did see it.
That's great stuff.
You know, because she's right. At the end of the day, she's actually right.
Yes.
So what's happening, man? What you been up to?
Oh, well, I'm in the southernmost part of Charlotte, North Carolina. And, you know, Charlotte is, I guess, probably the biggest city in North Carolina, but it really sits really close to the border of South Carolina rather than, and I'm on the southern tip of Charlotte. So, I mean, I'm right down on the border, and we just got a little dusting of snow. It didn't even begin to cover anything. As you go north, maybe 50 minutes, maybe 6-8 inches. And if you go, north an hour, hour and a half, they probably had closer to a foot up there. Depended on where you were.
Snow is always exciting, though. When you get snow, it's always exciting.
Yeah, well, especially when they're hyping it up for a week beforehand. And you start kind of, it starts getting old just worrying about it. Cause it's just, as you get older, I loved it as a kid getting out of school and everything. Cause around here, we didn't have the equipment. It didn't warrant the equipment. I mean, we'd get maybe, 4 to 6 to even 8-9 inches, maybe 2 or 3 times a year. You get out of school for a couple of days, but it didn't really warrant, they didn't put a whole lot of money into the equipment, snow plows, stuff like that. So just the slightest bit of snow would knock you out of school for a while, a couple of days or whatever, maybe longer sometimes. So it was great, and I love playing in the snow. I have great childhood memories of playing in the snow here in Charlotte. But it's just an inconvenience more than anything. Now, I enjoy it, that peaceful time when it's falling. It's beautiful, if you're close to a wooded area or something, and you go out walking, and it's just peaceful. But after that, it's just kind of messy and nasty and slushy and melting all over the place.
Well, you could come to Riyadh, dude. That'll get you out of this situation.
Yeah. I really like arid climates. I've always really liked arid, dry, low humidity environments. I've been all over the world, but a few places, and I'll be honest with you, my favorite place that just suited me the best was the Nevada. And sort of into California a little bit, the Sierra Nevadas. Just beautiful, nice and cold at night for sleeping, very low humidity. You go out and run 5-6 miles in the daytime and not even sweat, at 80-82 degrees. And I love that kind of environment.
Yeah, we native Californians say California's got the best weather ever, anywhere.
I think it does.
Just something about it. It's fantastic. We always lament New Year's Day when you have the Rose Parade and everybody sees the beautiful weather on New Year's Day. And we would used to joke, okay, another million are going to be coming next week, because it looks so nice and they're freezing their butts off somewhere in the middle, in the East Coast or the Northeast or whatever. So, yeah. But now it's just all immigration, man. What'd you think of that story coming out of Mexico? Hey, give us $50,000 and we'll go home. Can you believe the chutzpah of these people?
Well, I wonder where they got that idea from.
Yeah, 50,000 will go home. I've never seen that, dude. You've traveled, too. Can you imagine that happening anywhere else in the world?
Nope. And, you know, I hear Jared Kushner won. He had bestowed upon him, like, one of the highest honors is like that a non-citizen can get from the government of Mexico. And you just know he was down there screwing us over somehow.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I know people tried to pull, sell this guy as being some genius, you know, but the bottom line is he's just an Israeli first journey, follows whatever the major Israeli Likudnik move is out there. So I'm not impressed with the guy.
No, he's an enemy of the American people, and he's a real he's a real problem. He's a real problem, just the fact that he's Donald Trump's son-in-law. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm glad Trump is president, but I'm off, as some people have said, I'm off the train and I've left the station. I'm no longer waiting to see what Donald Trump's going to do on anything, because he's not going to do anything of any significance. He's going to back down to anything and everything. They got stuff on him. Even Judge Napolitano came out, I think, today on Fox News. I saw a little blip of it earlier on the evening news that he's committed a felony by what he did, what came out with Cohen's testimony against Trump, that Trump has to worry that because what he did, what he has done, which is silly. I mean, you know, you and I, we know that this is all partisan politics. It's all selective enforcement. Presidents have been doing this, guys. Politicians have been buying off women, paying off women since the beginning of politics began. I mean, you know, so they're gonna control him with it, and apparently they can't sue a sitting president, or they can't go after a sitting president as far.
Yeah, but you know what's too is our Congress has spent $17 million on hush fund money. And at least Trump paid his own money, not government money, not from the public treasury. So I don't even see where the crime is. Look, if you did it, you know, I don't personally care, quite frankly, and you used your own money, then fine. You know, there was a story years and years ago, King Abdullah of Jordan. I know you have others. But anyways, the King of Jordan, before in the old days, he used to have a gambling problem, but he never would gamble national treasury. You know, it would always be his own private money. And those who are, you know, going into the national treasury, that's the problem. Because they're not even putting their own dog in the fight. They're just stealing from us, the people, to fund their way.
Yeah, but, you know, they look for things like that, though, you know, to compromise people. If you can get someone into debt, that's one of the major ways. Gambling debts is one of the major ways they can, you know, compromise someone.
No, that is true. That is a true thing. Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know if that would work so well on him, but I'm sure it's done quite a bit. You know what else is fascinating? You know that Oval Office talk that they had the media in there with Chuckie Schumer and Pelosi, and it was Pence. Pence was like one of those puppet-like things. What do you call it? Where they do the
marionette
act.
Yeah, marionette.
It's just like his head was just turning back and forth, and I'm like, man, what is this guy? What is he even?
He was on
there?
Some ADHD drugs or something, you know?
Because
it was like, what are you here for, dude? You're just like, yeah. I watched that. I did see some of that. Yeah. So yeah.
Oh well, I'll let you go, Fudge.
Thanks, man. Thanks for calling. Catch me before the holiday.
All right, man.
All right. That's Frank, everybody. North Carolina. Talking about Pelosi, Schumer, Trump, and all that kind of stuff in the White House. I thought it was very interesting still to watch how it went down. Because while we had this big event unfolding inside of the UK, you had Trump basically bringing in these two leaders of Congress and basically casing them down inside the White House. Hi, Mike. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Well, when Mike gets here, I'll let him get on the line. But for now, we got Brew.
It's Chicago, Brew. How are you, man?
I know. I'm sorry to disappoint you, man.
Eye half focusing. I can't see very well. So
I know. This December 15th, man. I'm telling you. Anyway, Frank, you guys, Frank, I'd always listen to Gerald Celente. Frank, it's a freak show, man. It's all just a bunch of smoke and mirrors, lies and whatnot. Just like Fetch said, $17 million, probably a lot more than that to a hush fund, you know, that the Congress has set up, and these people are just, you know, in their cahoots. They're just all smoke and mirrors for us. What was the big story of the day was these dudes went in front of Congress for a hearing to talk about the Clinton Foundation and all the improprieties of the Clinton Foundation. They have whistleblower paperwork and all this other stuff. That's what was really going on today. So people got to keep an eyeball on that. Hopefully something comes out of there.
Yeah, I heard about that, and then the Clintons canceled their speaking engagement, which was not barely even selling. It wasn't even half selling out, and flew back to supposedly to attend a wedding in America.
Well, there's some other related news to that. I was listening to Brooks Agnew was telling us the other day that somewhere around the 28th, 26th, whatever, they have a Clinton ship that they're made in their number one, I don't know, vessel, whatever. It's called the Chelsea. This arrived in a dock on the East Coast. I'm not sure where it was. I'm vague on this story. Just heard it the other day. Baltimore somewhere. But on this, it was a cargo ship. So they got, these authorities got tipped off. They raided, so they went and they raided this cargo ship. The whole thing was empty except for in the middle, they found people smuggled on this cargo ship. All the other containers were empty. These people were from Yemen and other various places in those areas out there. And they were paying, $40,000 per person to be smuggled on these vessels. And it's to the Clintons. Once this happened, all of a sudden, the Clintons, after they canceled their speaking engagement, boogied out of the country to India. That's what I heard.
Really?
That's what Brooks Agnew said the other day.
Well, that's interesting. I haven't heard that one. That would be quite a fascinating development, for sure. I just heard up to where they canceled their speaking engagement. So basically, you had a giant cargo ship, and everything's empty except for a few containers in the middle, and there's people inside.
About 468, I think, is the number. The total number times 40,000 came out to be like $18 million.
Wow. That's good money.
So I... Yeah, 468 people or whatever. Whatever it was times $40,000 came out to $18 million. So, you know, we know these people are nefarious. We know they love this human trafficking. That's what this whole one of the reasons migration is about. It's about human trafficking and all the nefarious things that come out of it, one reason or another. And there's a whole list of different reasons they love their human trafficking, you know. People get lost in it. People get their organs harvested. People get caught in their slavery and their other nefarious stuff.
Yes, which I don't even harvested, literally harvested as cattle.
Yes, yes. So, you know, $1 million an organ and so on. You know, you touched on the story today about Israel passing. Now they got full-term abortion, right?
Okay.
Full-term abortion. So it's 9 months, baby's about to be born, and they can abort the baby. Well, literally... So it's sickening on its face, to begin with. But they're not going to be harvesting those babies. They aren't going to be killing those babies. Basically, what they're doing is incubating all those babies to the point of birth, and basically they're just going to harvest those kids, either steal the kids, or they're going to harvest the organs of the kids. That's why they did this. Not for killing them. There's profit involved.
Yeah, exactly. You're not just going to kill. You want to make whatever money you can out of them.
All right, I'm gonna let you wrap up. But you know, again, all this stuff is smoke and mirrors. They're a freak show. It's a freak show. You know, we gotta stop getting wrapped up and get back to getting the scales off our eyes and see everything for what it is. They want money. They want us poor. They want to take over the world, and we need to get to it to stop it.
Need some yellow vests, man. All right. Thanks again.
All right.
That's Chicago Bye. Brew, everybody. Thanks. And last item of air is a little bit coming out of Washington, D.C. Donald Trump with Schumer and Pelosi. And I swear, when you talk about the caricatures of Jews, man, guys, nothing is more caricature like a Jewish caricature than Schumer, man. What a complete looking loon this guy was with his folded up hands and his slouched look. But here's Schumer. I hope this is set right. Yeah.
In the Senate. Excuse me. Did we win the Senate?
We won the Senate.
When the president brags that he won North Dakota and Indiana, he's in real trouble.
Now, I found that comment very Jewish and arrogant, quite frankly. You know, he's basically saying, you guys, all you can control is North Carolina and South Dakota. Like North Dakota, South Dakota, or whatever the two states I just heard that was mentioned. But he's basically, Indiana and North Dakota. But he's basically saying, look, you don't control anything, man. We Jews control it. And if that's the best you can brag about, and you'd have to watch his facial expressions to really grasp the contempt he has for the American people here, because he's like, yeah, big deal, man. That's, you took these two states. And Trump is like, you know, and Trump probably didn't get the insult of Schumer, but it wasn't missed on me for sure. That was a huge insult by Schumer, for sure.
I did.
Let me say this.
We did win North Dakota.
This is the most unfortunate thing. We came in here in good faith, and we're entering into a discussion in the public view.
But it's not bad, Nancy.
No.
It's called transparency.
I know. It's not transparency when we're not stipulating to a set of facts, and when we wanted to have a debate with you about saying we confront some of those facts. Without, yeah.
And for me, what I saw there were two Jews basically going into the White House to make demands. First of all, facts are, you know what? These Jews believe in the Holocaust, okay? They don't have the intellectual framework to be talking about facts. They're loons. They're idiots. And you could see it in their mannerisms. Like, well, we came here to debate, and we didn't. What's wrong, Pelosi? It looked fine to us. We could see everything about how Jews think, quite frankly, inside of our political system. It was very transparent. It was quite enlightening.
You know what? We need border security. That's what we're going to be talking about, border security. If we don't have border security, we'll shut down the government. This country needs border security. The wall is a part of border security. Let's have a talk. We're going to get the wall built, and we've done a lot of wall already.
A big part of border security is the wall.
It's a big section. It's a big part of it. It's a big part of it. We need to have effective border security. We need a wall in certain parts. No, not in all parts, but in certain parts of a 2,000-mile border. We need a wall.
How much money?
We are doing it much under budget. Actually, way under budget on the areas that we've renovated and areas that we've built. I would say if we got $5 billion, we could do a tremendous chunk of wall.
So $5 billion, that's basically what it's coming down to. And I'm thinking to myself, it's really not that hard to get $5 billion. Just take it from the Israelis. They take that much times five every year. So just take it from the Israelis. You can build it.
And now a holiday message to our favorite people in all the world, our listeners. Revolution Radio is you. Now thanks to your continuing support, Revolution Radio will embark on its sixth year, bigger and better than ever. You, the listeners, have made Revolution Radio.